Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
What's up, Wing Wing Nation? This is Joe here. We are cooking up a national tour, but we need some info from you. So if you click the link below, there's a survey. We need to know which cities to go to. If you want us to go to your hometown, let us know in the survey below, and we will consider it. It takes like 30 seconds, and you get 10% off our online store if you complete it. And come see us live, in person. We're going to have car meets. We're going to have contests. We're going to have sim racing. It's going to be so fun. So let us know where to go. Get 10% off merch, and it's a win-win. And let's get into the show.
This week, we're talking about a theft ring that stole 900 engines from Kia, plus Kawasaki's dystopian robot horse, a car that can drive upside down, and an AI truck scam. We also have a very special interview with IndyCar driver Alexander Rossi. But first, everyone's favorite chill racing game goes big. Welcome to the Big Three. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We've got Bart in the stew this week.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Bart in the stew.
And Joe Weber.
What's up, Slime Nation?
And my name is Nolan Sykes. This is a car news program. But it sounds like we're going to be talking about some stuff that is not directly car related this week.
Car related. Automotive adjacent.
Automotive adjacent. Automotive, yes.
A lot of the lines are getting blurred right now the tech.
We got some funky stories for you this week, is what I'm trying to say. And it's fun.
But we didn't do any news last week because we had a really cool interview with David Freiberger. If you haven't checked that out, go back and check that out.
You can search it on YouTube and then scroll down.
Scroll down and then click. You're not going to be able to watch it until you click.
It was a great interview.
Nolan, I have a present for you.
You have a present for me.
I've been waiting. I got it like right as you went on your honeymoon. So okay. I've been waiting for so long to give it to you.
We all know what it is. It's been in the chat for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I texted everyone separately, not, you know, without you in it. And I said, I'm going to gift this to you. I hope he likes it. I hope he puts it on his truck.
Okay. Can't wait. What is this? It's really big.
Yeah.
It's a, built different Ram with crossed biceps.
He's got a Ram logo, but with extra, he's extra horny. He's got pretty huge forearms.
He's got crazy biceps. That is hilarious,
also,
dude.
Also, Audrey pointed out that it kind of looks a little satanic, which I like.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Are you going to put it on your hood? Where are you gonna put
it? No, you know what? If this could fit in that rear window, like the sliding rear window,
I think it's even a little.
You could chop off the build different part,
and that you could put on the front. You put the build different right on the front.
That's so funny, dude. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah,
we'll go out and see where this fits on the truck and apply it. I think for a couple days. That's so funny.
I had it custom made.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Where'd you find the arms and stuff?
Who drew it?
Well, you can actually buy. I drove past a Ram with the big arms on it, and I was like, that's hilarious. And so I looked that up, and then and then they were like, do you want to add text to it? And I was like, yes. Build different in the ESPN font, please.
That's so funny. All right. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. Wow.
I didn't know you put that together on your own. That's pretty
$26, good. $26,
dude. Okay, well, then I have to put it on the truck, at least for a picture. Wow.
That's going to up your resale value.
Yeah. Build different, dude. before we get into the news, if you guys haven't already filled out our podcast tour survey, we would definitely appreciate that. It's down in the comments below. We want to know where you guys are at, so yeah, we can maybe schedule a little tour around this nation of ours.
We have like 600 responses already, and we're learning stuff that we didn't know at all, like that we have so many fans in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Chicago. We'd yeah, love to go out there.
Tacoma and places like that. Tacoma's that great we too. Didn't even think about. So, hell yeah. Thank you to the people who have written in already.
Yeah. So, if you haven't yet, please do that so we know where you're at and we can come see your beautiful faces. For the first time in a decade, a new Mario Kart game is on the way. That's right. Bart, you big Nintendo guy?
I just remember, I've got fond memories of playing this. It's been a minute, but I do keep bananas in my car because of it.
Good policy. Good policy. Yeah. Nice. The new installment is called Mario Kart World, and the thing that everybody is talking about is that it's got a Forza-style, like, open world.
Yeah, it's open world. You can drive from, you know, zone to zone.
That's cool.
I like that. I think this is a cool evolution.
I mean, it makes sense. Game. There's when you think of the racing genre right now, outside of like the super serious sim market, Forza Horizon, super open world. You know, you have The Crew was also open world. Gran Turismo, not quite.
Driver?
Driver. It's been a while since the Driver game came out. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
There's like Driver San Francisco, I think was the last one. And that was a long time ago. Anyway,
just like stuck on an on-ramp getting over the Bay Bridge. That's fun. Yeah. That game sucked.
Yeah. Oh, people really like that one, actually. You should. Yeah. Watch your mouth, Joe. Driver's got shooters out there. Anyway, back to Mario Kart.
New from Electronic Arts. Traffic.
Yeah, it's like
the most realistic traffic simulator ever created. Isn't that like created.
Truck simulator or Euro truck simulator? Yeah. Is sitting in traffic. Anyway, so yeah, there's a big playground style open world that you can explore with your buddies online. I call Yoshi.
Yoshi's mine Yoshi's too. I also like Waluigi. And people are like, I said that, I can't remember, that we were sitting around eating lunch and I was like, I'm a Waluigi guy whenever it's racing.
That's when I threw my banana peel at you.
Yeah. Well, no. And then someone was like, I've never heard that before. Who the hell is a Waluigi person?
It must have been like Phil saying that or something.
Four people in the general area were like, I'm a Waluigi person.
Wow. Huh.
And then we beat Phil up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a way, can you pull people out of their cars like GTA style?
That hasn't been confirmed yet.
It's me, I'm Mario. Whoop.
Yeah. Pull them out. That hasn't been confirmed yet, but I hope so. Yeah.
We know that there are stars in it, so you could get stars by doing that.
Yeah, so there's tons of new characters, including the aptly named Cow from Moo Moo Meadows.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my brother's got a really good knock-knock joke from that pile. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting Cow.
Interrupting Cow.
See?
That's a classic.
Yeah.
There's also going to be new items and a rail grinding mechanic.
I do love this.
Looks crazy.
As a skate fan.
Yeah.
I think I have about 8,000 to 9,000 hours in Skate 3.
Really?
I played it because I didn't have internet for the longest time, and I just played it from probably 2010 to 2016, like maybe 4 or 5 hours a day.
Damn.
Just not doing anything but that.
An interesting...
So I love grinding. That's what I'm in.
Interesting piece. The grid size has also been increased from 12 drivers to 22 drivers.
Whoa.
So gonna be pretty wild, pretty crazy. It's gonna be a party, Bart.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's gonna be a Mario party. Mario party.
It's gonna be
I'm a little tired, sorry.
I can see that's fine. It's all good, dude. So the new Mario Kart game has received some criticism, though. Some say it's deviating too far from its roots, but mostly people are just pretty upset about the $80 price tag for the game.
There used to be, you know, I started on cartridges, as I'm sure many of us have, and then there was this big thought that, oh, the biggest price barrier is that they have to actually make these physical cartridges. Mm-hmm. So it's actual hardware that you plug in. Then the transfer went to, they were like, when we get to CD-ROM, that's going to go away.
Yeah.
And that just didn't happen.
No.
And
no.
Now it's like, you can buy it and download it, but if you want to do the other stuff, you're going to pay us every month.
Well, what's crazy with the Switch 2 is that it sounds like when you buy a physical copy of the game, what you're really buying is just a case with a code for the download in it.
That's stupid as hell.
Yeah.
Mario Kart World will be available only on the Switch 2, which retails for $450 or $500 when bundled with the game when it launches in June. So start saving your money.
I'm going to have to get a job.
But then if you have a job, you can't play Mario Kart.
That's true.
It's so. It's a tale as old as time.
True. You guys been playing any games lately?
I mean, I hesitate to say because every time I bring it up, you make fun of me.
What game?
Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. Over 900 engines have been stolen from a Kia plant in India in what is suspected to be an inside job.
I love this.
Yeah,
so I love this story.
The theft took place over the course of 5 years. Police believe it's a conspiracy among numerous employees with direct access to the plant.
I like to this story. I like they also, I had read that there is rumor of its former employees and current employees conspiring together.
Oh.
And they're not,
Interesting. We don't know exactly what kind of engines were stolen. Most of the engines manufactured by Kia in India are small diesel four-cylinder engines. But maybe they're being stolen and sold secondhand or being used in other applications. Maybe people are using them as
paperweights
or generators. To run some sort of generators or like other machinery. I don't know. Interesting.
I think it's
900 is a lot of engines.
That is. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's cool. Steel.
You think it's cool?
I think it's awesome.
Stick it to the man, dude.
Kia said it didn't really affect them that much.
They were asked what kind of an impact will this have on Kia's business? And they're
just shrugged their shoulders.
Minimal.
It's actually kind of chill. They could take more engines if they wanted to.
I don't think they're going they've got the police involved.
Actually,
I don't think
we're turning our cameras off. If you guys want to try taking just a couple more.
I'd watch this Netflix series, though. About the guys in India stealing these engines.
Yeah.
Over the course of it. And they only found it after an audit.
Oh.
So it was like just a, they're like, guys, we're missing some stuff. Now I'm at 900 engines. Oh, okay.
From this last month? No. So we haven't done an audit in over 5 years. That's on them, you know? Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever seen Inside Man?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Clive Owen.
So good.
Denzel.
We're not going to ruin it, but let's just say there's...
He's hiding in the bank the whole time.
No, dude. Come on. For days.
It really is.
No, it was like years. Wasn't it like 15 years or something silly?
No.
It was like two days.
It was like 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm going to rewatch it.
It's a great movie.
Because that's not impressive. 2 days isn't that impressive.
It's pretty impressive.
Be years.
Because they make a fake wall.
Yeah.
And he hides behind that for... couple days.
There's a difference between being in a prison and being in a cell. That's what he says in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you're like, what might he mean by that? I wonder. And then at the end, you find out. It's because he built himself into a cell in the bank.
Cool.
Mark, I'm so sorry for all the editing you're going to have to do for this one.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
An AI scam floating around, conning car enthusiasts out of their hard-earned money.
Trying to, anyway, right? We don't know if
anyone's been duped by this, but it is scummy.
Keep an eye out for this. Vice Grip Garage.
Derek Bieri, great guy, salt of the earth.
I've never met him.
He's the best. He is what you see on camera, and he's super nice.
Yeah, seems like a cool guy. Anyway, he recently notified his audience of a fake video that's been circulating online. In the video, made from a cameo that he had done in the past, a deep fake of Derek tells the viewer that they've won a truck and that all they need to do is send him $5,000 to cover shipping.
This is scary.
It is. If you've seen it, and I saw it because he posted, this is a scam. It's done.
It's like
you would think it's convincing.
Yeah.
You know, and he has a very particular style. He has a very particular cadence. He has a way he holds his own handheld camera, and it looks like he was doing it.
I think a good rule of thumb, usually, if you win a sweepstakes, you won't need to pay for shipping on stuff like that. Just keep that in mind. But yeah, I mean, that is something I think about too. It's like, there's like so much video of me online now that with AI and all this generative shit, like people could easily make fake stuff.
There's also so many of these car giveaways going on at one time that I think you should just be like cognizant of who you're giving your money to. And, you know, we've done car giveaways through Omaze in the past. I don't think it's been years since that's happened, but like now every channel is giving away, every Instagram channel too is giving away cars.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And you have to wonder, like, even if it's not AI, just be wary of like where your money is going. I know that some of them claim to have given to charity from this, and it's like, you don't really know how much is being given or what charity, or if they're just keeping all the money themselves. Sorry, I went a little off track there.
No, you're just looking out. Everybody looking out.
Yeah, I think just be careful and keep track of, like you said, Joe, where your money, who you've given your money to.
Yeah.
What promotions they're running. And if those are in sync, then you're probably okay.
Yeah. Going back to our Omaze campaigns, though, we did meet the people who actually won the cars, and we handed them the keys.
We had multiple winners.
Yeah.
Dude
from Oregon won McLaren and came and claimed it and met us, and it was cool.
That was cool. I forget the other car that...
It was the AMG GT Black.
That thing was sick.
Yeah. We were talking about, I was dressed as Doug Demon. It was like a Metallica edition or something. Super matte black one, but that was a sick car.
That was
really fun. Speaking of AMG GTs, they just announced the 63. Got 831 horsepower. The hybrid drivetrain.
Jeez.
It's a four door, but it has kind of this hatch, so it kind of feels like this hot hatch.
Yeah, those things are interesting. I've seen a couple of those around LA. I wonder who the buyer is, you know?
Yeah.
Like who's into that.
I saw a Maybach commercial during the Masters.
A commercial?
Yeah.
Really?
And I was struck because I was like, that looks like it was a Mercedes commercial that was highlighting Maybach.
No way.
Yeah. Oh. It was a very, what? Maybach advertising? But I think it was Mercedes advertising.
Interesting.
We should do a video where we buy the cheapest Maybach.
I think they've held their value quite well. They're still very, like Bentleys you can get pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We did a video a long time ago. It was like the most appreciated cars. And there was a Maybach for sale that was like 40,000. And I think it was like a 2006 or something.
Oh, wow. Okay. That'd be worth it, I think.
Yeah.
The craziest thing to me though is just the how meticulous the interiors.
Yeah.
Just, and where everything is and how like everything has been redone. And I know I like to say, like, I don't need that stuff. But the second you get in one of those cars, you're like, oh, well,
maybe
crap.
I need it.
I get it.
Maybe I need unicorn hair stitching.
Yeah.
Well, if AI wasn't dystopian enough, Kawasaki has a new vehicle that looks like it came out of an episode of Westworld or, honestly, Death Stranding. It's a hydrogen-powered robot horse called Corleo. It basically looks like a motorcycle. It looks like a ninja with legs.
Yeah. It looks like the
Kawasaki ninja.
Boston Dynamics dog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With handlebars.
Huge. And mixed with like a ninja motorcycle.
It's so sick.
The only thing I would change about it is that it's
make
hydrogen
it less
powered.
Sexy. Oh.
No, you need a two stroke.
Yeah,
a little two stroke horse that rides everything.
Hey, let's back up. You thought it's, you think it's too sexy?
What? I'm just saying, you know?
That's kind of glazed only, over that a little bit.
Well, we already a few episodes we were talking about Equus. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, whoa, look at those tailpipes on that. Where the hydrogen comes out of
it. All right. So this vehicle, I don't know what to call it, machine, vehicle,
robot horse.
A contraption. This contraption uses AI, of course, to analyze the position of the robot and riders to keep itself upright. It's supposed to be an alternative to motorcycles in navigating tricky off-road terrain, like really craggy rocks and like mountains and stuff like that.
Yeah, if you're commuting through like
Mordor,
Grand Canyon, Mordor. Yeah.
If your commute goes through Mordor, first of all, I know you save on rent.
If Frodo had one of these, they'd be there in a day.
Yeah, that's true. Sci-fi Lord of the Rings. Anyway, it's pretty cool. So Kawasaki has a concept video of it on YouTube. I think we should take a look at it.
Yeah.
I want you guys to see this thing. Cause I'm pretty on board.
I'm
pretty on board. I got my stirrups. I'm climbing on.
I actually asked Alex Rossi about this cause he has horses.
Oh,
and, he doesn't want to get one because he thinks it would make his horses jealous.
that's pretty funny. It's also funny to note. It's like, the car was the horseless carriage. It's like, we've replaced the horse.
Yeah.
And we've gone so long that now we're like,
we kind of miss horses.
Can we replace the horse again?
Here it is. You can see the guy galloping.
Whoa, he's on a glacier.
Yeah. And then he jumps so far off the glacier that he winds up in the forest and then at night.
So this is a CG rendering. It's not a real thing yet. But I mean,
it's got a heads
this,
up display where honestly, it shows you the route to go.
I'm so into this though. Yeah. This is such a cool idea.
Can't believe how into it you are.
When I first read this story, I was like, there's no way that I think this is going to be cool. And now I'm watching this and it's like, I will go up a mountain on this thing. Yeah. It does the hiking for me. And you know what's cool? There's like, there's comments.
This is very, that's now I understand. Yeah. That's a very Nolan
what take. What I think is cool, there's a lot of comments on this video where like people are like, hey, like I'm disabled and I really miss like going out on trails or going outdoors and like exploring nature. And like this could allow someone to do that. And I just think that's really cool. You know, like, I don't know. I just think it's cool. Like, finally, I feel like so much of technology these days is all about, like, there's so much tech out there where it's like the real use case behind the tech is just for like companies to get more money out of you, you know, to extract more for their shareholders.
It seems like 100% fun.
This actually seems like something useful and something that gets me excited. I used to be so into gadgets when I was a kid, you know, like growing up reading like Popular Science and stuff and being like,
oh, sharper image.
It's 2002. Like, what does the future hold for us? And what it's held for us is like
subscriptions
and games as a service and cryptocurrencies and things just to extract money out of you. Whereas like, I like seeing stuff like this because it makes me just optimistic and it's excited again.
It's not going to be very long before someone f***s themselves up on this thing because they're gonna try to jump
over ending to that sentence. Yes,
they're gonna jump over a chasm and it's just gonna buck them.
Oh,
or
dude,
something.
I can't wait to see the Sea Boys take this thing and like go to Hell's Gate or go to the Grand Canyon and try to jump across. Yeah,
can you imagine the Sea Boys on this thing?
No, it's gonna be sick.
I can't. I posted a Sea Boys clip in our Instagram chat this weekend of someone taking one of those little three-wheel...
Yeah, the Honda trike up
Hell's
Gate.
It might be the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah.
It looks like CGI because it's like bucking this dude. And at some point, it just fully goes sideways. And he doesn't flinch. He's just stuck on it. And he never lifts. And he gets up Hell's Gate in this trike. And it's insane.
Now, imagine that clip.
Yeah.
With a weird, sexy horse thing.
Oh, boy.
You keep calling it sexy. It's very unsettling.
All right. You guys might have seen this clip last week, but a car has driven upside down. And no, it wasn't the car from Men in Black. It was the McMurtry Spurling. And if you haven't seen the video, let's break it down for you. The stunt was done on a rotating platform that could go 360 degrees upside down, like a rotisserie. A rotisserie, if you will. So the car starts right side up, car stays in place with its vacuum sucking down. the platform rotates 180 degrees upside down, and then once it's totally upside down, the car drives forward on the platform.
Like 2 feet.
It looks yeah. it,
but still it first is, car it, to drive upside down.
It's funny sick. Because when it drives forward, my first thought anyway was like, meh. You know, but then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, no, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Because it just moves a few inches, but then you do the math and you're like, no, that yeah, okay, I get it. That's good.
Because they could have done some trick where, you know, they somehow latch it to the platform.
Right, right.
But this proves that it was not latched.
Exactly. Well, that was my thought, actually. I was like,
And then they take the hoop this. And they go around it because it's yeah. just floating yeah. there.
The guy from that wires. Magician's Tricks Explained series right. with the face the paint face. Shows yep. up. Yeah. yeah. Love that show. So how does this thing work? Well, the Spurling has a super high-tech ground effect system. It uses a fan to suck the car to the road.
The episode of Pass Gas that came out today is on Chaparral, which is a Can-Am racing team in the 70s. Known, you've probably driven the 2J Chaparral in Gran Turismo, but we call it like the fan car. That was probably the first car to ever do it, but they really innovated a lot of ground effects kind of stuff, but this was their most famous one, and it did produce, they wanted to produce downforce while not even moving, which is what this car is emulating. And that car was like super dominant in Can-Am racing for a long time. So, but then after that, no one has done this kind of yeah. suction thing.
Well, it's because to do it in racing now, there are rules against it.
Yeah.
So people are like, well, why would I do it? But this is sick.
I yeah. mean,
the car weighs, you said it's got 4,000 pounds.
4,400.
Yeah. And that's almost twice as much as
the yeah. So the car weighs 1,200 kilograms or 2,646 pounds. It's got an electric fan with 1,000 horsepower to make all that downforce. Sucking it like a catfish.
Stop doing
it. Sucking it to the ground.
Good Lord.
Does 0 to 60.
Sexy car.
It does 0 to 60. It's a little stumpy for me. in 1.5 seconds, does a quarter mile in 8 seconds. So this thing is legit. And it can also corner at almost 3 G's.
God damn.
G's.
Yeah, dude. That's right, Bart. So it lapped the Top Gear test track in 55 seconds, which is almost 14 seconds faster than an Aston Martin Valkyrie.
And it is the new record holder at the Top Gear track.
Yeah. It's crazy, dude.
Yeah. And I think the second and third place are like F1 cars.
It's nuts.
It just sounds ridiculous. It's the size of like a cup of rice.
It's pretty small.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty narrow.
It is a stubby little car, but I think it looks pretty good. Purpose built. Mm-hmm. I think it looks cool.
It would make me so claustrophobic because you know, it's just like,
it's probably mm-hmm. very cramped in there. Yeah.
Yeah. A coffin.
Yeah. That's what they want to hear. Their car's like a coffin. Yeah.
Well, they're going to have to send me one to prove that it's not the size of a coffin. So
that's right. Daily driving in McMurtry Spurling, just spraying
daily driving upside
and dust
down
out of the back.
Yeah,
as we're going, driving around LA. Yeah.
It's sucking into the fan,
yeah, just sucking McDonald's wrappers and cigarettes.
It would suck up all the manhole covers
yeah,
too.
Yeah, probably
it would.
Yeah,
4,400 pounds of
yeah,
yeah.
Those things weigh what?
They're like at probably least 90. I put them on the end of my when I'm doing like.
Yeah, I saw you welding them to a bar.
Yeah, I do alleyway workouts
yeah.
now.
Yeah, you pay $400 a month to this gym, and they're like, we're going to give you the alleyway workout.
Yeah, the whole place smells like piss. Yeah.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now, back to the show.
Speaking of workouts, did you know that Alex Rossi did an Ironman competition?
Funny you bring that up, Joe, because last week the folks over at Ed Carpenter Racing gave us awesome opportunity to interview one of the top tier drivers in IndyCar, Alexander Rossi, ahead of the Long Beach Grand Prix. Joe, you went and interviewed him last year, but it got cut.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What happened?
It was the first interview I've ever done. Me and Audrey went kind of last minute, and you know, we didn't take the right gear. We brought GoPros, but no clips. So, and we were just kind of rushed. The McLaren team was kind enough to give us a time slot, but the time slot was like very, you know, it was like maybe 20 minutes. We show up there's Alex Rossi, and there's like a McLaren Artura, which was like their
the hybrid.
Yeah, the hybrid V6. I think it was like their entry level car at the time. It was a really cool car.
Those things are cool.
We're at the Long Beach port, and we're like, screw it. Like, let's just, we got some like B-roll of the car. We just had to do the interview. And so I was like, screw it. I'll just hold my iPhone. And the whole time, you know, I thought we're just going to cruise around the port. And the whole time, Alex Rossi is whipping this car. We get up to like 110 on city streets, going over bridges and stuff. And I'm trying to hold the camera.
It's like the Ferris Bueller gear coming over with Alex Rossi.
Yeah. And the whole time I'm just trying to like keep us in frame and think about questions to ask him while having done no research at all.
It's good.
My first interview. So like what I came up with was like, oh, describe your favorite sandwich. Sure. But in the year that had passed, I did do a lot of research on him because I was like, he's an interesting dude. I want to know more about him. He raced in F1.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
We get there, we get set up. And I was like, you know, this time I'm going to knock it out of the park. And we get the knock on the door. His team is there. Alex Rossi comes in. And I was like, hey, Alex, good to see you again. And he was like, you're the sandwich guy. But this interview went really well. I'm really excited to share it with you. So I think we should jump into it.
What's your favorite sandwich?
Welcome back to the Big Three. We have an exclusive interview with Alex Rossi himself, winning IndyCar driver, Alex Rossi. It's such a pleasure to be back with you.
Likewise, man. Good to see
I don't know if you remember this, but you were my first interview.
We rode around in McLaren.
Yeah.
It was talking about sandwiches.
Oh, you remember the sandwich talk?
We went over a bridge way too quick.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
Now you're back. New team, Java House, ECR, Splenda team, new car.
Yeah. I mean, it's really exciting. You know, ECR went through a pretty big transition this offseason. New ownership coming into the team.
Sure.
And, you know, I've known Ed on a personal level for going on 5 years now. And we would always kind of talk about, you know, going away from the racetrack. We live quite close to each other. So we'd catch up on how each other's weekends went. And, you know, it was always interesting to kind of hear his vision of where he wanted to take this team. And, you know, it kind of just the stars aligned and it worked out that there was the timing worked for all of us to kind of come together. So with Ed Galov and Harlan Food Groups and Splenda and Java House, it's certainly given this team a lot of opportunity and it's exciting to be a part of.
Yeah. And certainly a lot of coffee.
Beijing Bacardi.
Popped up all the time.
Housing coffee. Yeah. And it's really easy because it's like these peel and pour pods.
I saw them.
So you don't have to like wait for a machine.
Yeah.
You just literally fire in your water and you're good to go.
I'm not trying to like plug this sponsor at all other than,
It's super convenient. Yeah.
It's like a curd cup, but way better.
It's got
liquid instead of just the ground.
It can be hot, cold, can be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. This is awesome.
World is your oyster.
Yeah. I would be housing those as well.
Yeah. I tried to drink it just straight though. Do not recommend.
Don't. Like it's
way too concentrated.
Speaking of like your pre-race routine, are you like pounding protein shakes? Are you doing anything like?
That's a good question. I think the biggest thing is like for the super hot races, like the hydration is very critical.
Because you could lose like 8-10 pounds during a race?
Almost. Yeah.
Just of water weight?
Just of water weight. So it's not a real weight loss.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, I mean,
you gotta put it back on or else you'll like die. But no, so you really try and understand like your, I think the majority of drivers go through sweat testing. So we understand like the electrolyte loss that you have.
That's a thing, it's sweat testing.
Oh yeah. And it'll be like how much salt, potassium, water you sweat out and then how much you need to, you know, replace it from a proportional standpoint. So
in my mind, it's like that Jackass sketch where they had Preston in like the jacuzzi suit.
Yeah.
And then they drank his sweat. Yeah. Is it kind of like that?
I mean, you taste the sweat. A little salty. I wouldn't recommend. But it's the hot races are where it's super important. Yeah. Sometimes if we race like really late in the day, you'll want to try and like have a bland lunch.
Sure.
If we race around noon, you've already eaten breakfast early enough in the day that it doesn't really matter. But yeah, I would say the hydration is the biggest part.
Is this one of the hottest races on the calendar?
No, this is one of the coolest, actually. So we were just in Thermal, so Palm Springs, oh, yeah, area, Thermal, 2 weeks ago. It was 94. We'll race in Ohio in July, which is dumb.
That's not fun. That's no. 110% humidity.
It's gross. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, it's the same for everyone. So you prepare for it, you train for it, and just manage it.
Do all the drivers live in Indianapolis or at least have one house there?
A lot of people think that drivers live in Indy because of the track and the 500, but it's really, right. It's really just because the teams are all based there. So like, I think 8 of the 10 teams, 9 of the 11 teams, whatever it is, are all in Indy. So in terms of like just going to work each day or each week,
they don't want to be here. Taylor Swift it. Have to fly in everything.
Yeah, more bad for the carbon footprint, man.
Yeah.
And I don't have a jet. So.
But speaking of jets, you do fly.
I do have I call it like a Suburban of the sky. It's like a
hoopty.
Well, it fits a decent amount of people, but it's not like high performance. But it is convenient if I'm traveling like under 400 miles.
Yeah.
Like our sim is in Charlotte. Through General Motors. So the sim is based as, so for me, I have to go to Charlotte probably 3 times a month. So for me to be able to fly myself and be on my own schedule, it's like an hour and 40 minute flight.
That's great.
Whereas commercial is an hour and 20 minutes. So I
have to deal with,
webs. Exactly. Exactly. So, that part of it's nice. And actually Ed and I, we own the plane together.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
Where kind of this relationship all started.
Ed seems like a great guy. Like we were scrambling around trying to find your trailers.
Yeah.
And I just, I saw ECR.
Yeah.
I was like, excuse me, we have an interview here.
Did you ask Ed?
Yeah. Well, he was just there. I didn't realize it was, I've seen him in pictures and I just didn't put it together.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh yeah, let me find Paige. And I introduced myself. I was like, hey, I'm Joe. And he's like, I'm Ed Carpenter.
Do you know his real name's Everett?
Everett?
Mm-hmm.
That's a sick name. Why wouldn't she go by Everett? I don't know any Everetts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Everett Edward.
Whoa.
EEC. Yeah.
That's pretty sick. Yeah. Well, that's, you guys seem like good friends.
Yeah, we are. I was reminded this earlier today. It kind of all started during COVID. So there was a pretty big, not mandate, but like push from IndyCar when everything was shut down that we do like online sim races, like as many of the drivers involved as possible to like still give the fans something to tune into and try and keep us somewhat relevant.
Yeah, and remember, like, MLB did that with like the printing your cutout.
Yep.
You put them in the stand.
Exactly. Yeah. So we did these sim races online like a couple times a month, and Ed and I were frequently like the worst. And so myself, him, and a couple other drivers, Travis Pastrana, we all basically started Chris Lake, DJ. Like we all started this, what we called LCQ League, which is Last Chance Qualifier
League.
And we did our own like spin-off show of like, we're the rejects of the IndyCar iRacing thing. And we did our own like competition. And so we kind of became friends online, which is weird to say in this day and age. Maybe not. Maybe that's more standard to say in this day and age. But anyways, and then we were like, oh, we live half a mile from each other. Oh, we both like airplanes. Oh, and
that's cool.
Yeah.
Here we are. I love that.
Yeah.
We have something in common.
Okay.
You like to cook, right?
My love of cooking has diminished slightly since my wife is actually a phenomenal cook.
Oh, really?
And so like, I don't have to.
She takes the wind out of your sails?
Dude, she's incredible. Like I tell her all the time, she needs to go like pursue that and do something about it. Like she's one of those people that can like taste something in a restaurant and then go home and make it.
And like pick it apart.
Oh yeah. Brain. And like she can... The dressing she makes from everything she makes. She doesn't follow a recipe. It's incredible.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, what do you like to cook when your wife's not around?
Grilled cheese.
I knew it.
Did you?
I was like, ask him about the grilled cheese.
Yeah. No, grilled cheese are actually hard. Grilled cheese are hard to get right.
I used to have a grilled cheese competition at my apartment. We lived in like a friend situation.
Yeah.
Where like 5 or 6 different apartments in this building our friends lived in.
Okay.
And so we'd hang out by the pool. I had a grilled cheese competition every year. And you know what? The simple grilled cheese on like Wonder Bread with American cheese won every single year.
Oh, it's the best. Like these bougie grilled cheeses that are at like these restaurants for $28.
Or birds.
Like, no, no.
Yeah.
Just give me the Wonder Bread, Kraft Singles.
Yeah.
Let it rip.
It's so good.
Yeah.
The sugar, you need that like sugar that they put
in the like Wonder plastic Bread. In the cheese. The
to just make it nice and crispy. Exactly.
So, all right. So what was your best dish?
When I was a cook?
Yeah. Or like the thing that you got excited about making?
The thing I would get excited about was kind of just like the peasant food.
Okay.
Which is popular now, like the skirt steak.
Sure.
Tacos or like the chicken just deglazed with a little bit of wine. Mm. Throw some butter in there. Capers, lemon.
Yeah.
I'm Sicilian. So, and you're Italian as well.
My grandmother's Sicilian. Oh, like 100%.
Paisan.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but yeah.
I think it means brother, but don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But yeah, I kind of miss, I romanticize it now, but it took me so long to get out of the cooking world that I'm happy to be in entertainment now.
Sweet.
If you hadn't gotten into IndyCar, do you feel like you would be a jet pilot?
Interesting. Now, yes. But like as a kid, I don't think that was an interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everyone, I think, is somewhat fascinated by airplane.
Sure.
Yeah.
Especially if you like going fast and you're in karting.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say if I wasn't racing, I probably would have been a skier. So my dad was a skier. I grew up in Northern California. Skiing was like my first passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you hook it? Would you send it?
Well, as a kid, yeah. And then when the problem was I started karting when I was 10.
Yeah.
And then like I got into a race car when I was 13. And then very quickly that became my career trajectory. So like I had to mellow down on skis because like I couldn't get hurt.
Sure.
The race season.
But yeah.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
I now ski casually.
What's your favorite ski?
What my favorite? Oh, like
talking about like the weekend. Yeah.
That's a really hard question. It really depends on the time of the year. If I'm going in like February away from holidays, and it's midweek, I don't think you can beat Vail in a lot of respects. I do like elements of Tahoe if the snow is good enough. I'm not a big fan of like, I hate Aspen.
What about Aspen do you hate?
Just the clientele, I guess.
This is going to be our title, by the way.
Yeah. Hate Aspen.
I hate Aspen.
That'll get a lot of views. let's see, like Steamboat's nice.
Yeah.
I just think a lot of Jackson Hole I love.
So Colorado and Wyoming. You know.
I would say Colorado. Colorado is first. And then I would say Tahoe is second just because it's home. And I would still have a lot of friends and family out there.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
This is the 50th anniversary of
this.
That's a fun thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
I know people love street courses like this. Mm-hmm. Is this one of your favorite street courses?
It is. I think it's truly outside of the 500. It's the crown jewel event. You know, 50 years. Is very significant. It's always incredibly well attended. It's a great part of the world to come, especially this time of year. For me, I have a small attachment to it because it's like kind of a home race being from Northern California. I've had success here in the past. So it's always been like a bucket list race for me. But for sure, everyone is most looking forward to is the 500. You know, it's our Super Bowl. It's the largest sporting event on earth. Like there's so much that goes into that race. This team in particular is incredibly good there. So I think we all have high hopes about, you know, what we can accomplish it at the Speedway. And it's just around the corner now. I mean, it's 7-ish weeks away.
What's the most exciting street course on the calendar for you?
Most exciting street course coming up. Well, what's left? So we have Detroit, which is only exciting, if I'm being honest, because it's GM's home event.
I thought you were going to say because of the potholes.
No. They all have potholes, to be fair. Toronto, I love the city. Don't like the race that much.
Yeah.
I think that's the only one left. But let me tell you what to really look forward to. 2026, we are racing Arlington around Cowboy Stadium.
Oh, that would be
cool. If you or anyone watching is a fan of F1 and have seen the Miami event, the same people that did F1 Miami are doing IndyCar in Arlington. So there's a huge amount of support behind it from Jerry Jones and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And it's going to be an amazing event. So if you love the kind of festival, high energy vibe of a street course, put Arlington 2026 in your calendar.
That sounds super fun. I hope they don't have like $300 lobster rolls like they did.
They won't. That is still very much the F1 thing.
I love that IndyCar is so accessible. Like, we were coming down here and we saw every type of person getting excited, walking around the paddock. I feel like that you can never take that away from IndyCar, and that's what separates you guys.
100%. And then we take a lot of pride in the accessibility and, you know, allowing fans to get up close and experience the cars and drivers and teams and just have a experience that is much more inclusive than just sit in a corner for 3 days and watch a car go by.
And spend $1 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining us. I know you got a tight schedule.
All good.
Follow Alex Rossi and the ECR team, Java House team, for the whole IndyCar season. Thank you, Alex. And we'll be following you all season.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Yeah.
It was really great stuff, Joe.
I can tell you actually did some research.
Yeah, I did.
You should be proud of yourself.
It makes me...
Next time if you do another one with Alex, he's going to say, oh, you're the research guy.
That's what he said guy. The first interview, because I was like, oh, you raced in F1, and he goes, wow, you did some research. Barely.
All right, so that is our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please fill out the live show survey. Let us know where you're at. Give us a like and follow and a review on the platform of your choice, if that's something you're into. Please check out our other podcast, Pass Gas. You can follow us at Donut Podcasts and our personal accounts. You got Bids Bardo, Joe G. Weber, and Nolan J. Sykes on Instagram. Big thanks to our crew. We got Mark, Audrey, and John behind the board over there. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys.
Every week.
Now we're going to go stick this decal on Nolan's car. Yeah,
great.
I think it's too big.
We'll find out.
We'll see.
Okay.
That should be fine.
But you can find that on our Instagram. Also, describe your perfect sandwich in the comments.